Hello, I'm Monty Beetham, and thanks to your support, we are back with another season of Once a Warrior, but it's going to be a little bit different. Not just your past favourite Warriors this year, we're going to have some of your current heroes who are some of your faves, starting with the man himself, Dallin Martinez-Alesniak. Dal, thanks for joining me, man. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Besides the smiles and the locks, there's a number of other reasons you are a fan favourite, and it's because of moments like these.
WZ is so exciting on the right wing. Martinez-Alesniak, trademark.
Oh, wow.
There it is, Martinez-Alesniak. He's got super glue on his hands. Martinez-Alesniak. You see it, but you can't believe it. Martinez-Alesniak flying. Oh, Martinez-Alesniak.
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 Oh, no way. Stop it. Dallin's done it right there.
Dal, what a highlight reel. How does it feel when you watch that back and even in the moment itself when it unfolds and the crowd erupts?
Yeah, it's pretty surreal. Sometimes you're like, what just happened? And you have to look at the big screen and have a look what you did. But it's pretty cool. I've watched many Warriors games with wingers scoring tries and that, so to be doing that now for the Warriors, it's pretty surreal.
I mean, you're Hamilton born, you left at 5 years of age, you went over to the other side, so I'm Aussie.
Yeah.
But what were your first memories of the Warriors, man?
First memories of the Warriors were probably my family cheering them on a lot. I really loved Brent Webb. He was one of my favourites. Those types of guys that could create things out of nothing. He was fast, he was nippy, and I played fullback quite a lot as a kid, so I wanted to be like a bit like him.
The Penrith Panthers, you played against the Warriors for the first time. Remember what that was like, and who were the guys that you hated to play against?
Manu was someone I always looked up to as a kid, so I remember lining up against him, and I'm just like, I remember my dad talking to me before the game too, and he goes, "Son, just tackle his legs." Have you seen his legs?
Yeah.
Manu was someone, didn't really like playing against just because looked up to him as a kid, and wasn't fair, but it was like just someone that had done so many things to other players, you just didn't want to be on his highlights reel.
Okay, so you came over to the club finally after a long time, obviously early fanhood. Your family loved the Warriors and so on. When did you think it was actually going to be something that you were going to come to the Warriors club?
Well, I never really thought of it because in previous negotiations, the Warriors just never were on the table. Just me thinking that I couldn't play for the Warriors because you had to live in New Zealand and I was living in Australia. So it just never crossed my mind. And then when the Bulldogs were letting me go, then the Warriors came in, and as soon as they came in, we chatted about it, and I really wanted to raise my kids, bring them back to where I was from, let my wife experience where I was from too. So she was all on board. She's very supportive of my wife. I'm very lucky. I went over to my parents' place, and my dad's a diehard Warriors fan. He has been since 95.
Yeah.
And he's here, and he supported Penrith and that because we were all playing, and it was our home team. But he'd go to some of our Penrith games or training sessions with Warriors tops on. My dad was asking me how negotiations were going, and then I told him, "Well, I guess you came to the table." And he goes, and I was like, he was like, "Oh, who?" And I said, "The Warriors." And he goes straight away. He was like, "Yeah, yep, son, that's the place to go."
You got into camp there with the Warriors. It was halfway through the season. It's never easy when you join a side in those circumstances. And through COVID, probably didn't feel real because you didn't have a place or a true identity. Like going back to Mount Smart at the time.
Yeah. When we were in Redcliffe, it was our home for that time. But I just knew that this isn't our home. Like this is just what we got to do at this time. And we'll eventually get home. And that's why when we first got back here, I got to sort of get back to my roots and understand a bit more about my culture. You don't get much in Oz with the Māori culture and those kinds of things. The first couple of months we moved back here from Redcliffe, my son attended school, and within a few months he was singing Māori songs. And I came home one time and we were learning Te Aroha because we were doing a pōwhiri. Yep. And I was practicing it, and then I heard him join in, and I was like, I was like, son, come here.
Yeah.
I said, how do you know this song? He goes, oh, school. And I was like, oh, that's, for me, it was everything I sort of pictured when I signed with the Warriors. It's coming to fruition. And yeah, now my kids are just thriving at school. Yeah. My wife's loving it here and makes my job a lot easier.
1,030 yeah. odd days you hadn't been home, and I remember that game really well. That week of when you're coming to go and talk to us about the excitement, talk to us about the feel within the camp, and then obviously once with your own game day.
Yeah, I remember that week. It's pretty clear in my mind that we had a Porfiti, I remember. And that then for me, I was just sitting there, I was like, this is why I signed at the club. So I was sitting in the Porfiti, I was like, man, this is, and I was just getting those, you know, that.
Those tingles.
Yeah, those feelings. And I was sitting there, man, this is exactly why I signed here. And I remember running out, it's still a surreal moment for me in my career. It's definitely a highlight. And then the crowd's roaring, the fans are close, so you hear everything they say. Especially when I was at other clubs and coming here, and it was actually pulling on that jersey and running out to Mount Smart and having them on my side.
Yeah.
It was quite cool. But yeah, I remember getting sprayed a lot of times by some, probably my family members, to be honest. Dane Laurie, his head was stuck between my legs. I remember doing some kind of wrestling move and pulling him down. That was, he's a mate of mine too, so it was, that was a pretty funny moment there. But I think we got off the back fence quite a lot that game because the adrenaline was going and my body was very sore the next day.
The way you run and how big the athletes are these days, I mean, it takes a toll on your body because you're direct, you get over their vantage line, which is what is asked from you. How crippling is it the next day when you wake up? Give us an indication at home on how sore you can be.
Yeah, I'll wake up the next morning and sort of get up out of bed and then just fall back in because of how sore you are. But yeah, quite sore. Sometimes message Mars and Marcelo. I played with him at the Bulldogs. I went to school with Mars. Okay, bro, you up yet? You walking around yet? But yeah, it takes a toll. But when you win and everyone's smiling and happy, it's worth it.
The signing of Andrew Webster. What did you know about Webby at that stage, if anything at all? And what were your expectations of Webby and the side?
Webby had coached my brother at the Tigers, so he knew my brother. My brother spoke highly of him as well. He's definitely by far my best coach. Just everything, he's not just on the field, but off the field as well. He just seems to dive in that little bit deeper into understanding my family, my wife, my kids. And I'm so grateful that he's at the Warriors because what he's done with me and my game and just simplifying my role. And he talks about clarity a lot, being clear. As if you're clear, you can do your job. And that's definitely one thing that I got, is clear in my role and what my role is in the team and our game plan and how much it actually goes to winning the game. For me, there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle and they're just all fitting nicely at the moment. And it's a credit to Webby because he's the one in charge of all that. And he's taking not only my game, but a lot of the boys in our team to another level. And going into my 11th year, and I felt like the last 2 years I've learnt more than the previous 9 years. And talking to him, I was like, man, where were you the last 9 years of my career?
Culture and resilience, two themes that came through loud and strong last year. I think a big part of that too is what you're building in the background gets reinforced with the results on the field.
Yeah, we'd learnt everything we had learnt in that preseason, and Webby was so adamant he had a way to win games. And then the more we started doing it and the more it kept coming along, the belief started coming. And they're like, oh, okay, it works. Like, let's keep doing it.
So you've been lined up to be on that right wing. You get injured. You're not a part of it all. I mean, what were you doing to keep fit, and what were you doing to struggle with the FOMO that you had?
Yeah, I was having heaps of FOMO. I was actually, I think, a few games in, I was like, man, am I even going to get back into this team?
Yeah.
Coming back and playing New South Wales Cup was actually like a lot of. I always go back to that game. That was a big.
Yeah.
That was a big thing for me. I was excited to go back and play Cup, and I was coming off a big injury and sort of find my, not love for the game, but find my motivation and and I think that game sort of woke me up and was like, I need to do something, otherwise my spot can be just taken just like that.
And do something you did. It was round seven. You got your first chance in the Warriors jumper. Talk to me about that day, the feeling, and what you remember.
Yeah, it was, I remember, it was at Mount Smart, being able to play against the Cowboys. It was, I remember playing, and I was real rusty. I was, it's the little things that we've learned, like the transport, everything was just out. And I didn't feel like a liability, but I was like, man, I'm not meshing well. I feel like I'm letting the boys down a lot because. Yeah. And then I was fortunate enough, Webby seen some things that I was doing well and sort of just kept coaching me, trusting me, and started. I think after that second game, it started my bearings started coming back and started getting into my rhythm and it was quite a year to remember.
Let's talk about the year, because 20 games straight in a row after having that time off. And now a lot of people remember you and what you were doing. 24 tries in one season. Let's talk about that first, because that is the club record. Took it off Francis Melli. He's not happy, Francis Melli. First and foremost, taking off a club legend like that. How do you feel?
Yeah, I hope he's not too bad, because, I got Sean, I got Chans, I got Murata, I got Rocco. Just what they were doing. People see me put the ball down, but they don't really get to see what is actually happening in the middle and what's giving us so much space out wide. I get to take all the glory. I get all the praise, but playing on the outside, those boys on the right edge is, counting my blessings.
Rocco Berry, your centre, a massive year of growth. What is his strengths, and what's he like as a teammate on that right flank?
Yeah, a big part of the right edge and what he does. He's quite quiet and shy, but he doesn't realise how much he helps me on a kick chase. I don't know if you've seen the way we kick chase and that, him and I, it's like a race down there. But just like a little word to me or something when he's leaving, like, come on Dale, let's go. Like, for me, that's massive, because sometimes you can get stuck in your head. And he always picks the right option. He knows when to pass, when not to pass. And I think that's why people have trouble defending him, is that he's not just one-dimensional where he'll just feed the ball, or he's not just that person that's going to dummy and keep going himself. He actually almost always picks the right option. And we talk a lot about what they're doing. And or like at training, if there's an opportunity where I'm like, oh, bro, I had him there. And he takes the feedback quite well. And I think that's why he's doing so well, is he's a sponge and he's learning so much from Sean, from Chance, from Webby. And I get to sit outside. I'm like, yeah, keep learning, brother, keep doing.
A big sheriff, Marata Nui Kore. What's it like? It must be better playing on his side than against him, because he's been pretty much the enforcer.
Yeah, he's big, he's scary, and every half has to check, make sure they check him, because if they don't, Sean's the type of guy to pick the right pass as well. And if you don't shore up on him, then he's going through. So we were up there at the end of the season, the regular season last year, as the top defensive edge in the comp.
Yeah.
And I think what he doesn't get enough praise for is what he does in defense. And just like some of the movements that he's doing. For me, sometimes I'm tackling that touchy, and I go straight to Murata. Like, I thank the boys around me, but I go straight to Murata and be like, shot, bro. Like, I'm so comfortable out there because of what you're doing. He's defensively, I see what he's doing. It's making my job a lot easier. Yeah.
I'm going to go to what you do and how you finish. Put the icing on the cake, because that is some sweet icing, man. Aerial moves, unreal. Talk to me. Do you practice it? Is it instinct? Because it's a fan fave.
Yeah. A lot of it was when I was younger, like mucking around. Before a field session, there's pads and that out. You just muck around. Oh, boys, this is a try line. You guys have to try score. Let's jump or something like that. But Rich Ager gave us a few sessions last year, and we've had a few this year with finishing. We don't do much on the wing, so when we score tries, we like to make it dramatic. And it's quite fun. It's one of the fun things about our spot, is in challenging situations, seeing if you can get that ball down. And when people say you can't and you do it, it makes it a lot better. A lot goes into it. My thought process is, because there's sometimes where you can step in you can, but it depends where the defender's at. Like, my thing is, catch the ball at speed is the first thing. Make sure that you're not just standing still. And seeing where that, because the fullback, there's always a fullback covering. Depends how far you are in front and knowing if you got it or not. My first thought is just get your legs in the air. All we have to worry about is putting the ball down. So legs in the air, knowing when the defender is, seeing if you can. Because cutting back in is the better way. But sometimes it's there, but sometimes you just can't because of the angle that the fullback's coming on. But if I had to say to any kid out there, it'd be legs in the air, and then all you have to worry about is the ball.
And your preference of scoring tries, is it to beat an individual on the ground, or is it to go up in the air for an aerial assault?
I love Israel Folau growing up, so definitely air. Anytime you can jump over someone and score a try like that, that's definitely a favourite.
Do you have a favourite try of the year last year, 2023?
Favourite try would probably have to be the Manly game. Where I got to come back through the middle. It was one of my favorites because I was just reacting to things and didn't really know what was happening. It was just like, fire, what's happening? Your mind's just going so fast, and then sort of just slows things down for you a bit. But something like that, you just look back and you're just like, fire out, like, what the heck just happened?
Four tries, 2023 against the Dragons, career high. Talk me through that moment when you score that try in St. George, and bit of a moment, bit of care from your right edge there.
I remember jumping and getting ready to go celebrate, and as I got up, my calf's cramped, and the boys are coming over, thought I did my calf or something again.
That guy on the ground with the photos, talk me through that moment, man. Because he wanted to capture that shot. Yeah. He would not put that camera down.
Yeah, I remember him being so close, and as I was tumbling, I sort of caught him in my eye. I was like, oh no, he's going to get hurt here. Because I was going to protect myself. And sort of just happened to roll and hit him perfectly where I could help him up, and he decided to keep capturing photos. I was about to leave him on the ground if he kept going, but yeah, it was quite a cool moment, and some of the shots he got was pretty cool.
When we look back to some of the dinosaurs, I know Henry Fa'afili and also Francis Smalley would have loved it if they had all the content around to capture all their moments. But you know, I know when he looks back as an old boy and he sees you do the coconut, he sees you do the Walkman. He loves that. I mean, a special bond you have between the old boys and
definitely. It's pretty crazy sometimes when the players like you as well. And the old boys come around training, and you just look at them like, "Wow, I used to watch these kids as a kid," and they're talking to me like Henry. Like, the reason I did the coconut was was definitely for Henry, and he was one. He was known for his try celebrations and some cool ones as well. And it actually got to a point where he was messaging me. We were talking to each other on Instagram, and I did the coconut one, and he was like, he was grateful as, and then he goes, "Bro, you need to do the Walkman one next."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, it's the Walkman." I said, "I didn't see the, I had never seen the Walkman one." So I went on YouTube and I had a look at the Walkman. I was like, "Oh, yeah, okay, I'll do it for him."
Walkman, unheard of. Have you even seen a Walkman in your time? The Discman? A lot of stuff that just passed you by, man.
Yeah.
I just want to go back to the science in terms of how they support and how they commit with the movement that is up the wires. Plenty of signs out there for you, man. What has been some of your favourites, and how does it feel when you go out there and you've got so much love for you?
Yeah, it was still now. It's sort of it's crazy how much support I've got. Not all of us, how much we've all got support, but yeah, there was a few signs that I seen that cracked me up before a game, or you don't get to see them all, it gives you adrenaline, it pumps you up, it makes you want to keep going, like that people are noticing the hard work that you're putting in, and it's been noticed, so you might, like, it just, I guess it's a human instinct, you want to keep going, you want to keep making them proud, you want to keep seeing signs there of you. It's it's quite nice to be recognised for some of the hard work that you put in. I think one that really sticks out was I was running out to do my warm-up, and this guy was holding a big sign up that said Air Dallin. And I loved Jordan. I love Jordans and shoes and that. So when I seen that, I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Can you give me a little flick of that mullet? Is there soul glow on that or what?
Yes, almost.
So the routine with the locks, and tell us you're keeping the locks for 2024, at least to start.
Yeah, they're going to stay, yep.
And the routine, is it a weekly haircut?
Yeah, I Yeah, well, they say weekly. I get it whenever my sides start getting a bit long, but yeah, I don't really have, probably every 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to be like Samson with the strength is in your hair.
I hope not, but it's here to stay, so maybe it might be that.
First time in the final series for a very long time for the club. Newcastle Knights came to town.
Yeah.
10 wins on the trot. Kalyn Ponga running hot. The pressure was on the boys. Sean Johnson hadn't trained much all week, and did a warm up. There wasn't even a full warm up. I was worried. How were your thoughts that night? And talk to me about that experience.
We knew it was going to be a big occasion. You could say there were good nerves. We weren't nervous in the fact that coming up against the Knights, we were nervous that we wanted to make sure we got our game on.
Yeah.
And doing what we had practiced all week. We had an awesome week at training. We were clear with our roles and what we needed to do. Each of us, I knew exactly my role and how I was gonna play a part in winning the game. And yeah, it all just started unfolding. Our game plan was happening, we were doing it, and the crowd was roaring. There were still times where we got things wrong, but it was almost one of the most complete games we had all season, I feel, from all the little things that we were doing. It's going to be a game that I'll remember for the rest of my life. It was probably up there with just homecoming's been the best one, but it was definitely up there with the same amount of how loud it was. And I think after the game when they sung the team song and we were out of the
court. Yeah, that's the first time that's happened live, right?
Yeah, that was crazy.
And Dal's words for you personally sum up 2023.
It was a year to remember, but as we did fall short. So for me, it was a motivating year as well. And a year that can give me confidence knowing that we can get better as a team, as a player, as a person. And heading into this year, it was a learning year last year, I feel. We were still all learning new shapes, new things. And we entered a pre-season where we got the take off from where we left off in terms of learning. And we're still learning now, so we've learned some new things that we're excited to put into games this year and get better as a team. And excited, really excited for this year. And running out alongside boys that you've done a tough preseason with, you've built a lot of relationships outside of footy as well. It's probably the closest I've been. In terms of with my family and that with other players' families and that, and we all hang out outside of footy and do things together, and it goes a lot to when you're on the field and making special moments together. It's going to be something we look back and our kids look back at.
Dale, once a warrior, always a warrior, man. You've always been so humble and giving of your time, so thank you for your continued service in the club Tuesday, man.
No worries, thank you, it's a privilege.
I'm Monty Beetham. Thank you for joining me on Once a Warrior. Next week, we have one of the toughest guys to ever wear the jumper, Jazz Tavanga. See you then.
DWZ is so exciting on the right wing. Watini Zalesniak, trademark.
Oh, wow.
There it is, Watini Zalesniak. He's got super glue on his hands. Watini Zalesniak. Watini Zalesniak flying! Oh, Watini Zalesniak!
Watini Zalesniak! Watini Zalesniak! What a goal! The pass was so good!
Watini Zalesniak! Oh! This time he gives it away!
Watini Zalesniak! Oh, no way! Stop it! Dallin's done it right there!